So let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. That's where we're going to be anchoring our thoughts this morning. So we're going to listen to the words of Matthew and Jesus as they're recorded here in Matthew chapter 26. I invite you to follow along, and we'll be hearing verses 17 through 20 and then dropping down to 26 and then through 30. So hear the word of God to us this morning.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked,
Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He replied,
Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying,
Take and eat. This is my body.
Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my kingdom, in my Father's kingdom.
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Confusing words for the disciples as they heard them from Jesus. What in the world? The Passover meal was meant to be a time of celebration. It was meant to be a joyful time as the story of God's deliverance from slavery was recounted and retold. For hundreds of years, you see, the people of God had been commemorating and celebrating their freedom and their deliverance from Egyptian enslavement, and for hundreds of years and generation after generation, they had been reliving the events of the Egyptian enslavement and that night which finally came when every believing household took an unblemished lamb or goat, one without spot of any kind, and slit its throat and painted on the door frames of the house. The lamb roasted then and eaten, and the bread eaten as well. That night, the angel of the Lord coming across the land, striking down, as the story goes in Exodus, the firstborn in every land, but passing over every house whose doorpost was covered with the blood of that sacrificial lamb. All of this setting into motion then their release from Egypt and their epic journey that eventually led them to the promised land. And from this night forward, that first Passover night, God's people celebrated their deliverance with a sacramental meal, which would from then on be referred to as the Passover Seder. The Passover and the deliverance from Egypt was for God's people a defining moment in their history, and it was joyfully reenacted in every household once each year, and each part of the celebration was carefully prescribed. The meal itself as well. The Seder centered around unleavened bread. It centered around bitter herbs. It centered around roasted lamb. It centered around the drinking of 4 cups of wine, and then, of course, the retelling of the Exodus story. The 4 cups representing the 4 promises that God had made to his people in Exodus chapter 6 You can find those promises in verse 6 and 7. Promises that spoke to their rescue from Egypt, their freedom from slavery, their redemption by God's divine power and judgment, and finally, their renewed relationship with God. And so I say, generation after generation of God's people had celebrated the Passover Seder and had found its identity in it. For hundreds of years, God's deliverance remained deeply ingrained in the consciousness of every Jewish man, woman, and child. And so it was then that Matthew records that on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said, where is it that you want to have the Passover prepared for you? And so Jesus responds by saying, find a man. Actually, the Gospel of Mark tells us then, find a man who is carrying some water, and he will lead you to that place. Jesus had already arranged to use an upper room in the city because the Passover meal was to be celebrated in the city. Now, it was customary in that day for women to carry water. It would be highly unusual for a man to carry water. And so Jesus, signaling to his disciples where it was that they should prepare, find the man, follow him, and he will take you to the place. It was important for Jesus to celebrate the Passover because as a faithful Jew, he had done it all of his life. Jesus had earlier said, I earnestly desire to celebrate the Passover. He wanted to celebrate the Passover before he would give his life. He wanted to celebrate the Passover because, you know, all the events of that evening would culminate in everything that the Passover would point to, which we'll see in a few moments and also again in a couple of weeks from now. And so preparations for the Seder were made. And when all was ready, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, as was the custom. The pictures that we have of sitting at the table are just not so, because in that day they reclined, and the table was a very low table, just off the floor. Now, if Jesus and his disciples followed tradition, Jesus poured wine into the first cup, and he recited the first promise from Exodus 6. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And with those words, the Passover meal would begin. If they followed the tradition that had been followed for centuries, Jesus would have offered the first cup, recited those words, and then a blessing. And then bitter herbs would be eaten, reminders of the bitterness that God's people had experienced at the hands of the Egyptians. And then, in response to four prescribed questions, always asked by the youngest in the household. And here, it is thought that John would have asked the questions. Jesus would have recounted the story of God's deliverance of his people on that first Passover night and the subsequent events in Exodus. And then the second cup of wine would be poured. And then the second promise would be recited. I will free you from slavery in the land of Egypt. And this is when the bread and the wine, sorry, this is when the bread and the lamb were to be eaten. But notice what Matthew does. In verse 26, he records this. Jesus took the bread and, okay, departing from the script, after he gave it thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Now imagine their astonishment. When Jesus departs from the script that had been reenacted generation after generation and says, "This is my body." What did these cryptic words mean? Because the disciples were convinced that Jesus had come in order to take hold of his kingdom. Isn't that, after all, what the crowds had thought of him as they hailed him as the conquering king who came riding down on the symbol of royalty in that day, the donkey, down the Kidron Valley, up to the eastern gate of Jerusalem, waving their palm branches, shouting Hosanna. And now what was this all about? What is Jesus talking about? "This is my body broken." Now we know, of course, that Jesus, just several hours later, would be whipped just short of the point of death by the Roman scourge and would be pinned to that rough wooden cross. We know that. The disciples would not have known that. They did not understand what Jesus was saying. "This is my body broken for you." Nonetheless, they ate. And then the third cup of wine, the cup of redemption, which was traditionally poured after the meal was eaten. The third cup of wine, which represents the third promise in Exodus 6. "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." And Matthew tells us, then Jesus took a cup. Which cup would that be? It would be the cup of redemption. And when he had given thanks, in other words, when he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink it, all of you." And then these startling words, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Words, friends, that would have just stunned the disciples. When did the disciples understand what Jesus was saying? It wasn't until after the resurrection that they came to see that he was a very different Messiah than they had imagined. It wasn't until after the resurrection that they realized that their redemption would not come from the sword of a mighty Messiah warrior, as it was supposed to have been, but through the death, the broken body, and the shed blood of their suffering rabbi. "This is my blood of the covenant," Jesus said. What covenant? The new covenant which God, through the prophet Jeremiah earlier, had said he would make with his people. A new covenant, not of works, not of law, but of grace and of forgiveness, which come through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he would make for all those who place their faith in him. Which is why, when Jesus held up the cup and said, "This is My blood of the covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. It changed everything for us. It's completely different. Our sins have been dealt with once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ shed in our place. No longer burdened by the weight of our sin and the necessity of personally having to atone. Let me try to find a different word. No longer burdened by the weight of our sin and the necessity of having to personally bear the punishment for our sins. We're now free to live in the forgiveness that Christ offers. We're now free to live for Him. We're now free to serve Him. We're now free to live the life He intended for us to live. We're now free to anticipate a very bright future. That night in the upper room in Jerusalem, Jesus transformed the Passover Seder, and He gave to us instead the Eucharist, otherwise known as Holy Communion, otherwise known as the Lord's Supper. And where the Seder, the Passover Seder, was once the story of God's liberation of Israelite slaves, it would be from that time forward in the upper room a story of God's liberation of men and women and boys and girls from the bondage of sin and death. And more than that, because there is more than that, the substitutionary sacrifice of animals in the Old Testament that pointed to a far greater sacrifice that would one day be made was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, who gave His life to take care of the problem of sin and death once and for all. Like the Passover Seder, the Lord's Supper was meant to be celebrated generation after generation as a continual reminder of God's love, His grace, the sacrifice of His Son. Like the Passover Seder, it's meant to define and shape who we are. And through it, we remember that God in human flesh suffered and died to bear the punishment for our sins. My sins. And your sins. So that you and I wouldn't have to. And through it, we remember the price that was paid to win our freedom. And through it, we remember how deeply you and I are loved. How deeply we are loved. The events that are commemorated in the Eucharist, the communion, the Lord's Supper, it's our story. And we have to see ourselves in it if we are to know who we are and if we are to live as followers of Jesus Christ. And every time we take the bread, every time that we take the wine, we are reminded again of where we've come from, of who we are, and what is ultimately important in life. And every time that we take the bread and the wine, we rededicate ourselves to following Jesus and live as God's beloved sons and daughters. I don't know the things that you hold on to define who you are. I don't know what events or what circumstances or words or hurts or achievements that you hang on to as you think about who you really are. But what I want to say to you this morning is that there is a far larger story of far greater importance than anything else, one that ultimately defines you and me. And that is the story of the Lamb of God who gave his life for us. And we must never forget that story. And most importantly, we must never forget who we are in the eyes of God, who gave his Son so that you and I might be his. And the invitation this morning is to take. The invitation this morning is to eat and drink. And the invitation this morning is to remember and believe that above all else, you are God's redeemed and forgiven son or daughter. And that is why it is truly such a joy to come to the table. Let's pray. So, Lord God, we thank you for the sacrament, our Seder, which you have given to us to help keep us grounded in the things that are most important in life. In a world in which we are bombarded repeatedly by so many different voices, in a life that is often filled with trouble and difficult circumstances, and in the midst of all of those competing things that would tell us who we are, how we should feel about ourselves, and especially in life when we so often disappoint ourselves because of our failures and mistakes. Oh Lord, what a joy it is to come to the table and then to remember again that we are your beloved, to remember again our story, to remember again what you have done for us, to set us free from all of those voices, to keep us grounded in you, to move us again forward in a journey of faith as followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that all of us here this morning, as we take and as we drink, will remember and will believe again how much we matter to you. And that would shape us and how we live this coming week. In the name of Jesus, who gave his life so that we might have life. Amen.